I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 2nd, 2025, and I got to be honest with you, I'm a little frotz today. My day began this morning with my phone ringing while I was peacefully sleeping, and I've totally forgotten I had agreed to do a radio interview in Toronto this morning, so I did that from my bed, unbeknownst to the radio station. I think I did a pretty good job. And then I got up. I dealt with the insurance industry in Canada, which I'm still dealing with, and I'm prepping to do those repairs on the waterworks in the house. But all that being said, I'm not sure where this video is going to go beyond where we're going to start, which is Pierre Poilievre's stunning apology. That's going to be the title of the video to Justin Trudeau. Let's listen.
Mr. Speaker, I know that sometimes it gets heated in this place, and recently I said that this Prime Minister was just as irresponsible with money as Justin Trudeau. And I now realize that that was unfair to Justin Trudeau. In reality, he has increased the deficit by almost 70% above what Justin Trudeau left behind. And now the Parliamentary Budget Officer describes this Prime Minister's deficits as alarming, stupefying, unstable, unsustainable. If you don't change, this is done and something is going to break. How is it even possible for this Prime Minister to be more fiscally incompetent than the drama teacher?
Now listen, all of you who have watched this show for long enough know that I am not a homer. I'm not a Pierre Poilievre fanboy. I have said that Poilievre is the absolute best the Conservative Party has, and if he can't do it, no one can. I don't know where they go after this guy. But I view my role as being a critic of all of this stuff. I'm not in politics. There's been people who have accused me of trying to create for myself a constituency, a platform, so that I can get elected. Do you honestly think somebody that talks about the subjects that I talk about is ever going to get elected to Parliament? I will be filtered out by the party system before you can say anything. There are some staffers in the CPC that will talk to me, but I doubt very much that. I mean, there's a very real potential that I probably couldn't even get in a photo line at this point, but I digress. I want you to understand that the man that Poilievre is talking about, the Parliamentary Budget Officer, is not some kind of partisan hack. I've seen the left try to label this guy as a super conservative plant. Now, here's the problem. Prime Minister Mark Carney appointed Jason Jacques as the current interim Parliamentary Budget Officer of Canada on September 2nd, 2025 for a six-month term. This followed the end of Yves Giroux's term on the same day. Under the Parliament of Canada Act, the Governor and Council, the Federal Cabinet, advised by the Prime Minister. It's an interesting wording that comes up. I'm actually reading from Grok at this very moment because I find it very interesting that Grok knows something that most Canadians don't know, and something I've been desperately trying to communicate on this channel, which is that Parliament is not government. Parliament does not hold power. Parliament votes on laws. Parliament introduces laws. Parliament appoints the government, but it is not government. And the Prime Minister advises the Governor and Council. Now, what does that mean? Governor General, representative of the King, even though the Prime Minister appoints the Governor General. Government is not Parliament. It's important. But back to the point. This man, who is using the terms that Pierre Poilievre has quoted in his brief comment in Parliament, is a Carney appointee. This is the man Carney picked for the job, saying that Canada's fiscal trajectory is not unsustainable over the course of years. It's unsustainable over the course of months. If something doesn't change in the next 12 to 16 months, the wheels will completely come off this country. And the vast majority of Canadians, unfortunately, are sleepwalking towards this Canadian Armageddon. If you've been with me long enough, you know that as soon as Mark Carney's name started getting floated around, before he even ran for leadership, you could see the media in this country, which is funded by the government, all of it, all the mainstream media, funded by this Liberal government, they all started promoting his name as a potential candidate. We were getting psyoped into this coronation, which is what it was. There's no way to call a Liberal leadership vote, which disenfranchised the vast majority of registered voters, anything close to legitimate. But Mark Carney was parachuted into this country. The PSYOP worked. And Liberals are still predominantly solidly behind this guy. And as much as during the election campaign, he talked about unending emergencies, an emergency on housing, an emergency on the climate, an emergency on energy, an emergency on sovereignty because the United States was threatening us, even though under both parties, under governments spanning back decades, this country has been gutted and sold off. Our manufacturing sector has declined from 30% of GDP to 10% now. Honestly, you'll have to check my numbers on that. That could be just Ontario because I'm just going from memory here. It doesn't really matter. Ontario is the manufacturing powerhouse of this country. And either way, it's been gutted. Canada is now a resource colony to the world and an immigration hub where the third world dumps all of their ethnic conflicts. Whew. And the fact of the matter is if you're serious about solving all the crises in this country, whether it's a crisis in crime, which the Liberals created through their soft-on-crime bills, or it's the crisis in housing, which includes both price and availability, the easiest way to do it is to send all the visa overstays back as a start. Something like 3.9 million people are here that aren't supposed to be here, and we're not doing anything about it? Now, there is a national emergency. There is a crisis facing Canada. It's the Liberal government with their NDP support. And I'm kind of hoping the whispers from the NDP is they're going to resummon their balls as opposition to the Liberals. That's their identity. That's what made them what they are. Ever since they abandoned that identity and became the rubber stamp for the Liberal Party, their electoral fortunes have been in decline. And they need to... They were once the official opposition not long ago. They could have, if Jack Layton had survived, they could have very easily formed a government. What are they thinking? Jagmeet Singh, representing the interests of the Khalistanis who supported him, bankrupted that party and left them financially destitute. It's time to stop pretending. There is no future for the NDP unless they rediscover their core identity. But we don't like core identities in Canada, do we? I said from the very beginning, before the very beginning, Mark Carney's here to manage our decline, to see it through in a certain way. There's no excuse for not having a budget. There's no excuse for the deficits this man is running. Even if you don't buy the C-19 narrative, and I don't, they use that as an excuse to spend an astounding amount of money. And Carney is just continuing this. Do you remember during the election campaign when he was questioned? Those times when honest questions actually got through the veneer of the mainstream media and one of them dangerously asked a proper question. We were told, he's an economist. He knows better than us. And the seals behind him in the press conferences clapped. The so-called economist, the man who ran two central banks, is spending Canada into oblivion. That's according to his appointee at the Parliamentary Budget Office. In that clip, Pierre Poilievre is completely right. Carney's track record on the economy, on the management of tax dollars, both current being collected and future tax dollars, is abysmal. It is worse than the drama teachers. It is worse than Justin Trudeau. And what's it all? Well, what's the end game? As I've alleged on this channel the entire time, it is the dissolution of Canada. Maybe not fully in name, but if our industries are dominated by Europe and China, if our resource sector is dominated by the same, if we answer to the World Economic Forum, if we answer to the United Nations, I covered the other day about a bill on the implementation of treaties. And how that doesn't just, they use indigenous as an excuse to promote this bill, but it's actually about the mandatory implementation of treaties that come down from on high through the United Nations, these international treaties that you never get to vote on in this country. Your government, which isn't parliament, just signs these things. Now they want to make a law that makes it far more mandatory to implement those treaty obligations. This guy's here to destroy the country. And it's crazy Orwellian doublespeak nonsense. They campaigned on elbows up. They campaigned on Save Canada. They campaigned on Buy Canadian. All of that tough rhetoric largely disappeared as soon as they came into office. We were told it was a massive emergency. An emergency so pressing that Doug Ford was willing to float cutting off electricity to 1.5 million Americans, something that would literally be, not figuratively, this isn't hyperbole, would have been a crime against humanity. That's the panic that was induced in the lead up to the federal election, but also the panic that was induced to get Doug Ford, another majority in Ontario. What did you do? What did you do? 47% of the people who voted supported them. And the excuse I constantly get from back east is like, what else would you do? You could vote more honestly. You could vote for one of the smaller parties, because there's never been a better argument for voting for a smaller party than Ontario is right now. Or you could have just voted for Bonnie Crombie and the Liberals. Because honestly, that would have been a more honest vote. In retrospect, since 2018, I think everybody should have just voted Kathleen Wynne another term, because nothing would be different. Maybe the whole Buck of Beer and LCBO saga wouldn't have played out. But the fact is, Doug Ford doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about Ontario. Mark Carney doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about any of the people who are actually paying the bill here. And your children, and your children's children, which will be obliged to this bill. He cares about his central banking friends. He cares about Brookfield. He cares about his portfolio. He has goals that lead to our destruction. And he was elected on a promise to save the country. And the question I have to put forward yet again is, when is the liberal base going to wake up? Polyev is not the great evil. If you read some of the comments, I was going to show them. I'm not going to show them. The comments underneath that video clip, you would swear Polyev's been in office for 15 years. And he's the guy that's been the architect of Canada's destruction. But the fact is, he hasn't been. And he's not. Whether you like him or not, whether you like this federation. I mean, I'm at the point. Oh, I don't understand. Ebby's basically told Daniel Smith to go pound sand yet again. That nothing is going to be done for Alberta, to strengthen Alberta within the federation. Now, is Daniel Smith just expending all options? Is she just trying to play the diplomat until she gets to the inevitable outcome? The inevitable outcome is not just Alberta, but Saskatchewan has got to start thinking about leaving, or at least threatening to leave, and doing so openly from the halls of power. Daniel Smith is not going anywhere. Opinion polling shows that her government is strong and they're in a good position, and is likely to remain that way. We need people, just like Scott Moe just won an election last October. We need these people to start talking a different game, talking about independence, or talking about a better deal, a political deal as well as an economic deal with the United States. Because I see a lot of meetings taking place between U.S. ambassadors and U.S. representatives. Smith and Moe, they've gone down to the United States to talk to these people because they butter our bread. They buy our stuff. Without the Americans, we flounder and die in poverty. That's what happens. But we got to go further than mere economic conversations. We got to start talking about political conversations. And I think the sooner we do it, the better. Because Ottawa is actively, as I've shown on this channel, doing nothing but throwing up legislative roadblocks to these very essential conversations. If we want to prosper, if we want a future, if we want to build things, if we want to produce things and feel good about our production, feel good about our financial futures, we got to get away from Ottawa. And I hope the rest of the country wakes up. But I look at opinion polling. I look at what people are saying online. I look at what's in the press. I listen to the conversations that come back at me from the East. They're still asleep. The vast majority are still asleep. They believe that Donald Trump is the principal enemy. It's not the Americans that have undermined Canada with the cartels and the triads from China. It's not America that laundered billions of dollars through our casinos. It's not America who created the biggest property bubble, maybe in world history, right here in Canada, by industrializing money laundering. It's not Donald Trump, who has stood in the way of investigation after investigation, trying to get to the bottom of this. It's not Donald Trump who closed those investigations through the bureaucracy of Ottawa. It's not Donald Trump running candidates in our elections that are calling for the kidnapping of their political opposition and the handing over to them of them to the Chinese. It's not Donald Trump who allowed Chinese police stations to operate here on our soil and CCP operatives to target Canadians for destruction. It's not Donald Trump who gutted our resource industry and sold it off. It's not Donald Trump who allowed billions of dollars of CCP China's money to buy influence in our universities. And I could keep going. Just about every single problem that Canada faces has nothing to do with Donald Trump. And the greatest deception the Liberal Party has ever made as an impact on the Canadian people is that Donald Trump is at fault for anything. When Donald Trump called us out for the fentanyl problem, he was telling the truth. He's still telling the truth. Canada is overrun by crime. When Donald Trump said there's an unfair trade relationship with Canada, that the Americans have been doing us favors this whole time. And granted, there's some favors that are done back, but the billions and billions and billions of dollars in capital that we require from the United States just to survive speaks more volumes. We've denuded our military. We've spent money painting rainbow sidewalks on military bases, and you're supposed to lift up your feet when you drive over them as a Canadian service member, as I've reported previously on this channel. We've denuded our military. They don't even have proper facilities. We don't have arms. We can't defend ourselves. We are completely dependent on the United States defense umbrella at the same time as we are allowing the United States' principal enemies in the world, geopolitical enemies, to establish and set up shop right here in Canada and undermining the United States, causing tens of thousands of deaths to their public through drugs and trafficking. We send terrorists down there. Far more terrorists on the terror watch list come from Canada into the United States than come from Mexico into the United States, even though the Mexican border is far more porous. Our nation is being used as a platform to undermine the United States. We should probably be thankful for their patience. We should probably be thankful that they haven't just invaded yet. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. People gotta wake up. This is not new information. We've known about these problems in Canada for 5 decades. It's been simmering back to Jean Chrétien, even under Harper. Prior to that, under Mulroney, the corruption is rife. And Canadians just keep sleepwalking, content to be overtaxed, content to wait in line in queues for life-saving services when it comes to their health care, content with a society that is delivering worse results, content to take advantage of the United States and not even have the courtesy to offer a thank you, content to align ourselves with the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, and the machinations of Europe. Another election. We've got Slovakia, we've got Romania, we've got Moldova, we've got the interference in France, banning Le Pen from running for the president again. We've got the interference with the AFD and all the suspicious deaths surrounding that. Europe will not allow. The World Economic Forum is based in Europe. The EU is their political base. They will not allow effective opposition to get elected anywhere. The fingerprints of interference are all over Europe. They will not allow Hungary and Orban or Poland to happen again because it undermines their political base. It's a totalitarian hellhole akin to China. And these are the political entities that Mark Carney wants to look to for salvation to save us from what? The prosperity that we could have with America in an integrated and united North America, even as an independent nation. If we look to each other for our salvation, if we aligned more closely with a truly North American foreign policy, and that's assuming we can get the promised new Monroe Doctrine, the promise that came out of the Trump election was the dialing back of the U.S. empire and a focus on just rebuilding infrastructure and getting rich right here in North America as the world's breadbasket. We could do all of these things if we just had the vision to do it. And my hope is that Alberta and Saskatchewan are wise enough to see it, They wake up, they start floating different ideas, and I also hope at the same time that Polyev will go harder. His rhetoric has been getting better. He's starting to talk about some very real things. But he's got to keep going, and I think we need to keep the pressure on. We need to keep being critical. There is a small, slim chance that you can bring it back, but it's going to take truly revolutionary leadership. It's not going to be poll tested. It's not going to be catering. It's not going to be found in politics as usual, catering to what the public already thinks. You're going to need Apple eating Polyev, the guy that ran for the leadership, getting in front of it and arguing hard with the media, arguing hard with the left, and not worrying about being perceived as the nice guy. He needs to be right, factual, far more than he needs to be nice. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.